This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, took to the TV studios this morning, where he was quizzed on the latest stage of the government's roadmap for easing COVID restrictions. From tomorrow, in England and Wales, indoor hospitality and entertainment businesses will be able to reopen their doors, and rules on meeting other people both inside and out will also be relaxed significantly. Andrew Marr asked Hancock if this was wise, considering the appearance of the Indian variant of the virus in the UK.
Yes, I'm confident that we can take the step tomorrow, but we should all be careful about how we take that step. You know, so you asked me about eating indoors with people. It's still safer to eat outdoors rather than in when the weather allows. You asked about hugging people. When people have had both jabs, then it is that is pretty safe. Right. Okay. But you shouldn't still spend a lot of time in close proximity. You should make sure ventilation's good. We all know what we can do and take personal responsibility.
And when will all those businesses desperate for the full unlocking on the 21st of June, when will they know that that's going ahead?
So we will take that decision and announce the decision on the 14th of June. And I would love to be able to give you the answer now, but we're going to use...
14th of June, what are the criteria you will use then?
So, firstly, is the vaccination programme on track? Secondly, are the case rates going so high that they risk a big surge in hospitalisations? Third, are hospitalisations and deaths at a low level? And fourth, is there a new variant that could knock all this on track? And on the first three of those, we're in great shape. On the fourth, it's much more of a risk.
The Indian variant has reared its head most prominently in the northwest of England in towns such as Bolton and Blackburn. Ma asked Hancock about how widespread it was across the country.
We do think that it is relatively widespread in small numbers. And we know with a high degree of confidence that it transmits faster. And so it is something that we need to be alert to everywhere. At the moment, we need to be alert to it and we need to be vigilant, and all of us need to act with responsibility. So, but the strategy is on track because we have increasing confidence that the vaccine works against this virus and this variant. But the virus has just got extra legs in the race between the vaccine and the virus.
So bearing in mind what you just said about personal responsibility, if you had elderly parents, would you go and stay with them tomorrow?
Well, if people have been vaccinated twice and then there's been a couple of weeks after the second jab, we have increasing confidence from very early lab data. This isn't clinical data. It's from the labs in Oxford. But the early data suggests that the vaccine is effective against the Indian variant. And in fact, you can see that on the ground in Bolton. There are right now 18 people in hospital with coronavirus in Bolton. And the majority of those people haven't had the jab, but are eligible for the jab. So the really important thing that we should learn from this is that everybody who is eligible should come forward and get the jab. And of course, you should get the regular testing, especially in Bolton where we're putting, and Blackburn, we're putting amounts of testing.
This is really interesting and really important. Do you know how many people have contracted the new variant in Bolton who have had the jab?
We think that there are five people who have ended up in hospital having had one jab. And this is why it's so important to get the second jab.
So nobody who's had two has
well, gone. we think there's one person, and there's but that person was frail. So the vast majority of these have not had any jab, but were eligible. So people should come forward.
Sophie Ridge challenged Hancock on the government's decision not to place India on the official travel red list much earlier than it did. Critics have accused the government of trying to keep India on side ahead of a planned post-Brexit trade deal.
Now, I want to talk to you about borders because there's a lot of people who are looking at the situation and thinking this could have been prevented. This could have been prevented if the government had acted more quickly. So the India variant, first detected in the UK in the week ending the 29th of March. On the 2nd of April, it was announced that Pakistan and Bangladesh were going on the red list. India wasn't, even though there were much higher case numbers in India. And it wasn't added to the red list until the 19th of April, didn't actually implement being on the red list until the 23rd of April. And between late March and the 26th of April, 122 people arriving from Mumbai and Delhi had the Indian variant. They're just the people that we know about. Surely it was too slow.
No. So the first thing is, we have some of the strongest border measures in the world, and all of those people testing regime. All of those people needed to go through a testing regime and an isolation regime. But the second point is that what matters is the positivity of people coming to this country. So you can't actually just compare those test positivity figures as you did, because it depends on the proportion of people being tested in those countries. However, because of the surveillance system we have here in the UK, because we test everybody who comes through the border, we therefore do know where the risks are. And that's why we took the action we did on Pakistan and then on India. As I say, before this was a variant under investigation. So yes, it is absolutely right that we have these tough border measures. And sometimes I get attacked for having these tough border measures, and I don't regret them at all. But you have to take decisions based on the evidence that you have. You can't take decisions based on evidence that you don't yet have. And we took the precautionary decision to put India on the red list based on the epidemic that we saw there. And then afterwards, this variant was put under investigation.
Ma raised the case of former Minister Brooks Newmark, who, the Sunday Times has revealed, lobbied the government on behalf of a Hong Kong firm during the height of the pandemic. Matt Hancock defended the decision to award WorldLink Resources a £178 million contract for protective goggles.
Yes, it was absolutely appropriate for people to get in contact with anybody at the Department for Health when the country desperately needed PPE. And I sent this contact straight onto the PPE team and they looked at it. I don't have anything to do with the award of contracts.
Did he get special treatment as a result of that?
No, I just pinged it on. Now, but of course,
well,
we had a...
You say you pinged it on. Yeah. Your aide on the 28th of May wrote to Lord Dayton, who's in charge of all of this stuff, and says, please see below from the former MP Brooks Newmark, an excellent PPE proposal. The Health Secretary and I would be very grateful if Lord Dayton could look into it urgently. Now, had you looked enough at that proposal to know that it was excellent and had to be seen urgently?
Well, what I can tell you, Andrew, is that we had a process...
That's a recommendation.
Well, we had a process in place to ensure that when there were opportunities to get hold of PPE to save lives on the front line, that they were looked at rapidly. And in this case, we ended up with 90 million goggles for people in the NHS as a result of this approach. And so I'm not going to...
It just looks, I mean, there'll be other people who could provide goggles. It just looks as if you have a contact with Matt Hancock or Boris Johnson or another minister, you get preferential
treatment,
you get pushed ahead.
No, that's not true, because there was this process for making sure that when there were high quality offers that they could be taken up rapidly, that process was open to everybody, and many, many people came through that process, and the result was we saved lives on the front line. And at no point did we have a national outage of PPE, and I'm incredibly proud of my team that pulled that off. But of course, when somebody approaches the health secretary in the middle of a pandemic, when you're desperately short of PPE, it's perfectly reasonable for the health secretary then to send on the email and say, can we have a look at this? And then I didn't have anything to do with the signing of any of these contracts.
But what you made it pretty clear what you thought about this proposal. You thought it was excellent.
I wanted it to be looked at. Yeah. And by the way, 90 million goggles later, I'm glad that I did.
Ma also spoke to the chair of the Home Affairs Select Committee, Yvette Cooper, who criticised the government's decision to ease restrictions on travel to and from countries on the official green list from tomorrow.
I think the government needs to slow down its plans. So I don't understand why they're going ahead with lifting some of the international travel restrictions tomorrow. I think that they should be being much more cautious about that. The things they need to do, look, we want, as the vaccine rolls out and as it's effective, if there are safeguards against new variants, of course, we want to be able to move back to international travel. But at the moment, there are some significant gaps. So the home quarantine system, for example, needs to be much stronger than it currently is. The system for surveillance, looking at what's happening in different countries, needs to be much stronger than it actually is. We have no idea what assessments the government is making, not just of India, of Pakistan, but of other countries as well. They need to publish those on a regular weekly basis so that we can see what is happening and so that much faster, tighter action can be taken.
On Times Radio, Daisy McAndrew interviewed the Shadow Communities Secretary, Steve Reid. After Labour's poor local election results across Northern England last week, Reid said that Starmer would be able to turn things around in his next moment in the spotlight.
One of the criticisms of that is that people aren't quite sure what Keir Starmer stands for, that one minute he's taking the knee, the next minute he's not commenting on issues that he should comment on. He's going on to Piers Morgan's TV show this week. What do you want to see him say or do? What Keir Starmer is it? Which Keir Starmer is it that you want to see Piers Morgan being interviewing?
One of the things I really felt strongly on the doorsteps during the run-up to the local elections last week is that people are much warmer towards the Labour Party than they have been in recent years. People see Keir Starmer as a credible alternative Prime Minister. They want to know more about who Keir the man really is. Now, you know, I've known Keir for a while. I work with him in Parliament. I get a sense of who he is, but the country doesn't. So I'm really pleased that he's doing this this interview with Piers, because it will give the country a chance to get a better sense of who Keir is. And once they get to know him, I think they will see there is a man who is absolutely driven by a moral compass and a desire to correct the injustices in this country.
And finally, the former chief scientific advisor, Sir Mark Walport, had some advice for anybody thinking that the latest unlocking meant that they should throw all caution to the winds.
People have got to be sensibly cautious, I think.
Sensibly cautious. What would your advice be then for people from Monday?
Well, my advice is that, just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you should. As far as possible, socialise outside, maintain social distancing. You know, if you're going to hug cautiously.
How do you hug cautiously?
Well, you don't. Well, without going to great demonstrations, tight clinches should be avoided.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.